Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 5119, also known as Bernie Sanders Day. Well,
May Day.
Yeah, it's May Day, and Mickey Fulp is on with us and much to talk about. This is Mickey Fulp's monthly major market review for April of 2019. Mickey, hey, spring is in the air, and I guess that means that socialism is in the air as well, but we've still got our markets to look at, right?
We're still capitalist, Gary, and let's go to the capital markets.
All right.
Quite well.
Yes.
This month, S&P 500, NASDAQ, and the Russell 2000 all hit all-time highs within the last day or two. The Dow lagged a bit on some weak Q1 earnings, specifically Boeing's problems and Intel's earnings, but it's still less than 1% off its all-time high. It closed at 26,593, up 2.5% on the month. S&P 500 all-time record yesterday at 2,946, a 4% on the month. NASDAQ and the Russell 2000 both hit all-time highs on Monday. NASDAQ 80.95 for almost a 5% gain on the month. Russell 2000 15.91, up well over 3% on the month.
Hey, and Mickey, you know, it's amazing. When we first started doing this back in 2011, the Dow was at 12,000 and change, the S&P at 1258 and the NASDAQ at 2605 and the Russell at 741. What a difference.
Yeah, so 250, 300% gains on all the indices in what, seven years.
7 years and a few months. Pretty remarkable.
Amazing.
Shows you should never write the market off for dead, no matter what. So on to our other markets.
Toronto Stock Exchange, all-time high last week on strong financials and a temporary high in oil markets last week. Closed at 16,581, up 3% on the month. The Toronto Venture Exchange, meanwhile, is just muddling about with no direction on low to moderate volumes. Closed at 611, down 2.5% on the month. Emerging market index was stronger, probably because of Chinese stimulus and subsidies, subsidizing electric cars and smart appliances. But their PMI came in really flat over the month at 50.1. But still, the emerging market index, nice gain at 1079, up 2% on the month. And meanwhile, volatility remains very low, closed at 13 and change on the VIX. It spent most of the month somewhere between the 12 and 14 range.
And going back to December of 11, the Toronto Big Board was almost at 12,000, 11,955. The only one lower here, of course, is the venture, which was at 1485, and the emerging was at 916. So you look, those markets really had, compared to the major American indices, have had really minuscule returns.
Well, that's true, Karen. Really, this is a U.S. story, and it has been. It's the U.S. and then we have the rest of the world, and it's been that way for several years now.
Yeah, and now we have Trump. So
that we do.
Yeah. Whether you want him or not, you got him, and you're probably going to have him another 4 years come 2020, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. So looking at the money rates here, and another interesting story.
Yes, DXY was up to 97.5, basically stronger on rest of the world fiat currency weakness. Euro was flat at 112. The 10-year bond actually made a bit of a rally. It was at 2.54, up 5% on the month. What we were talking about last month and the great worry about a pending recession with a yield curve inversion, Carrie, lasted all of 6 days at the end of the March, and by the first of April, things are back as they always were. And finally, I have to comment that Bitcoin made quite the rally, closed at 5248, up almost 29% on the month. And a little editorializing here, Carrie, your reports of Bitcoin's death are greatly exaggerated. Oh.
I never gave a time frame, and I don't believe that this is the start necessarily of a major advance forward. My gut feel is probably not. And I'm still thinking, you know, our low was 4 months ago, and it was at 3422. And I still think it's going to test that low, mainly because everybody's getting so optimistic about it. It's still nowhere near its all-time high, and that's what we need to keep sight of. This could be multi-year, and we're just going to have to see what happens. So moving right along to the metals, not the prettiest scene, but not the worst either.
Gold was down $9 on the month, closed at 1283, 0.7% loss. The only encouragement here was it bounced off resistance at less than 1275. I think it got as low as 1272, but it remains below the 50-day moving average and above the 200-day moving average. This is generally a quiet time for gold. I don't expect lots of big moves for quite some time. Meanwhile, silver remains weak. It closed less than $15 at $14.93. No one seems to care except for a couple of pundits, which would include Keith Neumeyer, who continues to predict $140 an ounce. And the illustrious emeritus financial whiz John Embry, who predicts recently $300 an ounce of silver. I don't know what they're drinking or smoking or ingesting, but come back to reality, guys. Meanwhile, platinum bottomed in early part of this year, and it's been stronger. Closed at 886, up almost 5% on the month. It remains in surplus, though. Meanwhile, palladium, after the big fall last month, remained flat at 1366, and it remains in supply deficit. And going on to copper, just trading in a narrow range between 288 and 296 over the last 3 months. It flips from contango to backwardation, seemingly on an every other day basis. Fundamentals remain strong with low inventories, strong demand, but the market remains ambivalent, and I think it will continue to be that way until we get some real positive news from this trade tariff debacle.
Yeah, which probably won't be much longer is my guess, but everyone has an opinion about that. Let's move on to energy.
Another good month for oil. WTI closed at 63.87, up 6% over the month. It is up over 40% on the year, but it came off its high last week. It briefly spent some time above $66 and then corrected a bit. I think it got a little bit ahead of itself. Meanwhile, Brent, another good month, up almost 7%, closed at 72.16. Only news out of that oil patch that really probably affected the prices. The Ruskies have been sending bad oil to European refineries, and they've been called on the carpet for that. And that you would think would be strong for Brent crude, which comes from the North Sea, mainly Norway and Great Britain.
Yeah, Scotland there. You know, it's just like the Ruskies to do something like that to gunk up the works. I mean, you can't overstate enough the adverse effects when you put through a large quantity of substandard crude through a refinery that is refining light sweet. Ugh, I don't even want to think about it, Mickey.
Well, and the same thing happened in the U.S. last month, Gary. I don't know if you're aware, but Asian importers of light crude refineries were complaining about contaminated U.S. crude. And part of the deal with U.S. Light crude is it comes from so many places, and probably the standards need to be monitored quite closely. And meanwhile, let's go on to Henry Hub. Benign northeast tier weather, although it's supposed to be cold again in the north central part of the U.S., has led to a gas surplus once again. Henry Hub closed the month at 258, down almost 5% on the month. Wow. Uranium continues to vacillate in the $25 range, plus or minus. The Section 232 report was sent to Trump from the Department of Commerce mid-month. He has 90 days to take actions on that. So let's put that on the clock for on the calendar for mid-July.
All right. Well, we'll be looking at it because something's going to break in that market.
Absolutely.
It just kind of has to, although someone was telling me that the Chinese have years worth of supply of uranium, and they're the big
They have about, from my memory, about 400 million pounds stored up. So that's a significant amount of uranium for their burgeoning nuclear sector. But this really isn't a Chinese story. This is a domestic story and a Western world story. So let's pay attention to that market.
All right. And then finally, we get to our key ratios, which tell an interesting tale, don't they?
Well, I flagged three metal ratios this month. I wanted to mention them briefly. Gold and silver closed at almost 86 on that ratio. We're starting to get in really rarefied territory. But we should also note that the ratio of gold and silver has now been above 80 for 9 months in a row. Are we in a new paradigm for ratios? I think not in the longer term, but there's no end in sight with, as I said before, the only people that care about silver are those with a vested interest either in mines or they own a lot of physical silver. Platinum to gold ratio is making a recovery here after coming off those all-time lows. It was at 0.69, up from 0.62 3 months ago, really due to the rise in platinum. It's bottomed and it's looking better. Platinum palladium ratio, same story, came off lows, all-time lows of 0.56 intermonth in February, and now at 0.65.
All right. Well, interesting stories these numbers tell, but we always have to be mindful that regardless what commodity it is, what market it is, those numbers can change very quickly and leaving the so-called experts in the dust, Mickey.
This is true, Gary.
Yeah, we've seen it all too often. I mean, that Nat Gas Henry Hub story there. It's and if you're a natural gas producer and you're not producing wet gas, you're in a world of hurt right now. It's getting to
And also if you're producing wet gas, you got nothing. So you've got an oil product to sell, and you have to pay to get the natural gas. You either have to flare it or you have to pay pipelines to take it and Permian Basin.
Yeah. It's a no-win situation.
We have a glut of gas in the U.S. That's not going to change anytime soon.
Yeah, they'll be shutting them down soon. But then again, let's see what the summer months bring in terms of heat in the Northeast, where they don't have enough natural gas. In New York and in Massachusetts because of their sound environmental policies that they've been following for a decade now that are going to lead to unmitigated disaster, Mickey.
Well, this is true. And meanwhile, the new Green New Deal continues to get press. I saw yesterday where Beto O'Rourke had a $5 trillion religious experience in Yosemite. Beto O'Rourke. With that acerbic comment, I'll leave it to you, Kerry.
All right. Well, I couldn't agree more. He's trying to out AOC, AOC, and when you're trying to be crazier than the craziest person on the block, I guess you got to reach for the stars. I don't know, but hey, hopefully collective sanity may one day return to the country. It's long overdue. Certainly when it comes to energy, we're just in this situation now, partly election related, partly deterioration of the political situation. The numbers eventually reflect everything. The market knows all, and this isn't getting by it either. So let's watch those numbers, see what they say. Hey, if you're following this review, then you want to go check out Mickey's site, mercenarygeologist.com, and his extensive Twitter feed, which is at mercenarygeo. Check out our site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Sign up for our newsletters here. It will give you much thought and many things to consider when you're allocating your scarce investment funds. And Mickey, we will pick up where we left off in June 1st. Happy May Day. I'm going to go out and buy myself a beret with a red star on it to celebrate the event and potentially Venezuelan independence, which would be a great thing.
It would be a great thing. Thanks a lot, Kerry.